Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio, and we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports.
Leave one wolf alive, and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fun. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things on this, where are we at, Wednesday? The last Wednesday of February. Wow. How are we today? Hayden, still not here. 1202, still not here. Cam, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Weird day yesterday, but I'm gonna snap and clear, focus on myself. So it's still nice weather. I'm gonna embrace that. We
love to see it. Positivity. Focus on yourself, King.
Trying.
All important things. Draven, you good?
Doing great, John. This weather. Does it just make you want to just smile a little bit, you know? Windows down, sun out. Got the sandals on. I'm letting the puppies breathe today, John.
I feel like we need to talk about that.
What?
I feel like we need to talk about that.
A little intervention.
Are you allowed to have the puppies out, as you call it, the toes out, while you're sitting in a closed room in close proximity to other people? You're not on a nature hike. You're not outside playing frisbee golf. You're not playing spike ball with the boys, where you could easily take, you're going to need to take your sandals off and roll around in the grass. You're sitting in a, I mean, I know we're a little laid back here, but this is an office. You're in an office right now. We are cube mates.
This is just casual, you know, casual wear. You got a problem with sandals? You're not a sandals guy?
I'm asking if you're allowed to have your nasty toes and nasty feet out, and I'm somebody who appreciates feet, but I'm a little uncomfortable seeing your toes.
You don't have to see them right now.
I saw them earlier. I know that they're really close to me. They're pointing at me right now.
Yeah. They are.
Yeah. Yep. I feel like this is in poor taste. This is bad etiquette.
You think that's just any place wearing sandals, or is it just the office, you think?
I mean, if I'm walking like into Walmart.
No big deal, right?
No big deal.
Okay.
Now, if I'm going on a flight, I feel like it's a big deal.
How is that a big deal?
You're sitting next to somebody on an airplane for hours, presumably.
Exactly. You want to be comfortable. What if you want to, you know?
Is it more comfortable wearing those sandals than it would just be wearing tennis shoes?
Yeah. In my opinion, yes.
Those straps on your feet.
Yeah. You can take
the straps. Rub them raw.
You can take the straps off. Don't have them super tight.
I feel like you
actually don't have them super loose, so they're rubbing, but yeah.
I feel like you can't wear open-toed sandals on airplanes either. Unless you're going to, like, Mexico. If you're going to, like, an exotic location where everybody's got their hats on and their Hawaiian shirts. Thanks for joining the show, Hayden. 12:05. Show starts at noon.
Hey.
Nice of you to come in, though.
I was talking to Brandon.
That's some important information. I don't care what you were doing. You weren't on the show at 12 o'clock when it started. We had to do your work. We had to start the podcast. We had to start the Periscope. We had to do your responsibilities. A simple apology would work. So on an airplane, if you're going to, like I said, an exotic location, you're good to go.
But anywhere else, no sandals.
No sandals.
Flip-flops included with this?
Yeah, no,
sandals,
no feet
flip-flops
out.
In
no
the same
feet
thing?
Out, okay. Yeah. Cam, agree or disagree?
I'm not a big toes-out person, personally, so I think I'm going to agree here.
Come on, toes out. Like, you're just going to just notice everybody's toes just because they're wearing
not
sandals.
Everyone's, but if you get stuck sitting next to me, yes. Yes. And, like, for your own safety, what if you get an aisle seat and they hit you with a cart? Next thing you know, your toe's split open. Mm. Next thing you know, you're bleeding.
Yeah.
Safety hazard. Those things better not be smelling in a couple hours.
You heard.
They don't. They're not sweaty. They're breathing. That's why you wear them, so they can breathe.
You heard the pain I was in when I get that splinter caught underneath my thumb.
Yeah.
What happens if you get a splinter in your toe?
Ugh. Splinters are the worst.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Especially in your foot.
I don't want to round your parade. You're in a good mood.
I was about to say, come on. Nice weather. I'm not going to be able to wear them again probably for a long time. Supposed to rain the rest of the week, okay? So let me enjoy it. Let me enjoy the sandals.
I'm just a little taken aback by them. But also, you could wear them whenever you want. Like, in technically, we're in a climate-controlled place. So, we could wear shorts in here every day, and we'd be comfortable, most likely. You could have your stinky little toes out and be comfortable. I think the Blitz guy said that Charlie always is in flip-flops.
That checks out.
Yeah. Seems like a flip-flop guy, and he's probably one of the last people that should be wearing flip-flops. He just looks like he's got stinky feet. No offense to Charlie. I love Charlie. He's one of my favorite people, but he looks like he's got stinky feet. I guarantee if I asked Charlie, do you wash the bottom of your feet in the shower, he would say no. No, why would I wash my feet? The soap gets the ground. I just stand in the water. I guarantee that's what he would say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Could say it.
Why do I have to wash my legs either? The soap just runs down my body. I just wash my shoulders and my armpits and my private parts. It's good. The soap just runs down everywhere else. I guarantee you would say that. He's got stinky feet.
You sounded just like him.
Yeah.
I thought that was Chuck for a second sitting there.
Yeah. Why would I do that, John? I mean, the soap hits the ground. I'm standing on the ground. You wash your feet?
Yes, I wash my feet.
Okay, just checking.
I have pretty feet, in my opinion.
You know what I looked at them? They aren't bad.
Okay, so there
if
we
I
go.
I have my toes out, different story, but your toes, you got nice toes.
Thank you.
I will give you that. It looks like you take care of your feet.
I do. Not the first compliment I got.
I'm happy to hear that you wash the bottom of them. I'm going to guess Cam doesn't wash the bottom of his feet.
I wash the bottom of my feet.
Okay, just checking. He took offense to it.
People forget.
He took offense to it. Hayden. Nah. I didn't want to make it. I didn't want to single out Hayden first because then it looked like I was just making it a bulky boy thing with him and Chuck. So I went around the room. But Chuck, Hayden, not washing their feet. I'm a little nervous about it. Just bending down to do it. You afraid to pick up your leg to get it up to do it, or you just feel like the soap is the ground, John. I'll just stand in the soap. A little bit above.
I'll be honest. I have really sensitive feet. I don't like to touch the bottom.
You can't tickle yourself. That's a rule. It's an anatomy rule. You can't tickle yourself. You'll be okay.
I just don't like
tickling's
it.
A fear response. So like,
I just
yeah,
don't
you can't
like it.
Really...
Tickling's a what?
Like a fear response. That's why.
So flight or fight mode.
Pretty much.
It's
so that's why you can't tickle yourself because your body knows you're not really a threat to yourself necessarily. So that's a simplification.
Hold on. I mean, I'm sure there's some science here, but if I'm with my lover, and she tries to tickle me. I know she's not a threat, but it's still ticklish. My body still reacts. Would my body not be accustomed to somebody after time spent?
You can more, but it's also just
I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like it's a comfort thing. If I went up to a stranger and tried to tickle them, I don't think they would find it very ticklish. They would be like, why are you touching me? My body's going into flight mode. But if it's somebody you're comfortable with, that's when you get ticklish. That's what I think, at least.
Well, so I haven't really tickled any random people before, so I don't really
I would
have
hope
any,
not.
Any context there.
If I walked up on the street and tried to get somebody underneath their armpits, I don't think it's going to be oh, you got me. I'm so ticklish. I think it's the comfort that makes your body react.
Huh.
That's what I think.
I think you're right. I think you're right on that one.
Yeah, find the research, because like I said, I don't know if you can tickle strangers like that. Especially if you're catching them off guard. If their body doesn't know it's coming and they feel threatened.
Hate being tickled. I know that's probably a pretty popular statement.
Being tickled.
You like being tickled?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I love
Come
being tickled.
On.
I don't really
it's
get
It's a panic
though.
Response. So, not... Okay, so I guess fear is a little extreme.
No, but panic feels, similar enough to it.
Because it's a natural defense to stuff like spiders and bugs crawling on you. So,
ooh.
That is the key. You got to go real soft.
Yeah,
real
so you're yeah.
Treasure hunt. X marks the spot on your back, Blood rushing down your back.
And so you can't tickle yourself because you're the one
Hayden?
Applying the pressure.
No.
When somebody scratch your back, it's treasure hunt. X marks the spot. Other stuff boulders hitting you. And
I'm really ticklish. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Blood rushing down your back. Spiders crawling up. Mm. Ocean breeze. Tight squeeze. Now you got the chills. No.
I know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That gets the chills so much.
I know.
I love it. I would like for somebody just to come tickle me. How much would I have to pay one of you guys just to tickle me for a while?
A lot of money.
How much? Hayden, how much?
I'm not touching.
You guys need some FanDuel money? How much money do you need in your FanDuel account to just tickle me for a little bit? Like a good 20-minute tickling.
Come on. You don't like being tickled.
I love being tickled.
You don't like kick and...
That's part of the fun.
I know, but like...
Ooh, don't touch me there.
Like Cam said, it's like a panic. You're like, get off of me almost.
I like pretending I'm not ticklish and being able to like fight it off, but you know, sometimes it gets you.
Can't help it.
I don't think you guys could tickle me though. I don't think it would work the same.
Are you super ticklish?
No.
We don't instill panic in you?
That's it. Long story short, cover up your feet, sir.
Yeah, that's where we started.
More of that story.
Long story short, the sports story of the day is probably still Tiger Woods. We'll give you an update there. Dive into the updates from Tiger Woods. The NBA will announce the second half of their NBA schedule today at 3 p.m., so I guess we'll get the back half and the dates.
We got the rest of All-Star teams.
The All-Star teams announced as well. We'll get into that in a bit. We'll talk Tiger next, though. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Hey, folks. Jamie here at Alban Franklin Motors on Kingston.
Back in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Beautiful day to just sit by patio somewhere, sit outside on your porch, drink some White Claws. Only 100 calories. Ditch the beer belly bloat. Springtime is peaking. How about that? Punxsutawney Phil, you coward. Yeah, nice little trick with the ice last week, but now look at us. East Tennessee, we've had it made.
Yeah.
We didn't get no ice.
Yeah.
We didn't get no ice. We've had it made. It was cold last week, but we're all right.
We're going to have to get our own groundhog.
I don't want to jinx it. That's me knocking on wood, but beautiful weather. Go to hell, Punxsutawney Phil. Drink White Claw responsibly. Support the people who support us. Mitchell writes in. This is related sort of to you. If I see someone on a damn plane with sandals, I'm reporting them to the bleeping air marshal.
Come on.
You're not wearing sandals on an airplane, Draven. He's reporting you to the air marshal and says he's just mad thinking about it. And you're acting like it's okay. No big deal. Again, I would give you an exception if you're flying to like Hawaii. Or Mexico, somewhere where you're going to a resort. I would give you a little bit of a pass there. A small pass.
But I mean, you're.
I wouldn't report you to the air marshal if that was the case.
I'm going to be sitting next to like a friend or a family member. They're not going to care.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, there's a.
You
okay
travel
chance.
With two friends. So most planes for long trips have three seats in a row. Yeah. So. And who knows if your friends are going to. You're going to properly. You guys probably seem like type you're both going to try to get aisle seats next to each other. Yeah, that's what's probably going to happen, which is no shame in that, but that means you're sitting next to a whole plane. Your feet are going to be out for the whole plane to see.
Just don't look at them.
Just don't look at them, bro. We can't. We have to smell them.
That's not true.
Tiger Woods seems to have a long road back ahead of him. Alive, which is better than we knew when we got off the air yesterday. Alive.
Yep.
With significant orthopedic injuries to right lower extremity. An open tibia and fibula fractures. Open makes me think like the bone just poking out.
Mm-hmm.
Had to put a rod into his leg to stabilize it. Ankle, foot bones stabilized with screws and pins. Muscle and soft tissue trauma required surgical release to relieve pressure from swelling. Sounds as if it's like kind of what Alex Smith went through.
Yeah, does sound very similar.
Good news is, like I said, Tiger Woods is alive.
He was awake and responsive after surgery today.
I haven't seen that. I was going to say, I saw where they said, you know, he's standing outside the wreck, which seems kind of crazy on two, like, broken legs, but adrenaline.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And, like, him being tough. I mean, that was one of the things about the, you know, that they really highlighted in the Tiger documentary was just how tough he was and, like, him gritting through a real bad back injury to go in and win a tournament. Being able to play through an immense amount of pain. So, like, he's a tough person.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, to be standing outside on those two broken legs seemed kind of crazy, but...
Especially with how far it looked like the car went. Did you guys see, like, the whole road view? Yeah, overhead view. Just kind of crazy. It looked like it went, like, a really far distance. I mean, just maybe even on its side for majority of the time.
Yeah, they said they were on a road that people traditionally go really, really fast on is what the sheriff's department said they'll frequently have to pull people over doing 80 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone and give them big tickets. But, like, people just speed through there. I don't know if that was simply what was happening, if Tiger was just simply going really fast. I don't know if he was distracted on his phone, doing something else. Like, I don't know how he lost control.
I also said there's a lot of downhill slopes and curves on that road, so it's like accidents are pretty common there as well,
right,
especially with the speed and stuff.
Right. So, yeah, the good news is he's alive. Mm-hmm. It does look like he will be able to walk again. Like, he'll be walking after surgery. I guess there's some path. Like I said, if you compare Alex Smith, who was able to come back and play quarterback, like, there's still maybe a road for Tiger Woods to eventually return to competitive golf.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder how hard he wants to do that.
Guy's been through a lot already, man.
No, he has.
He's been through a lot already.
But he did just have another back surgery in December to try to get ready to play, like continue playing. So, like, he was still actively wanting to play. I'm sure in his mind he thinks he can still win three more majors.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's running out of time with his body. And, like, I mean, he's getting older. I mean, he's older.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know how much. You know, Alex Smith, younger than Tiger Woods. But, you know, they're probably wired the same way, and Tiger's, you know, wired even crazier, I mean, in terms of, you know, his competitive drive and him being a, you know, freak competitor and all that. But, like, I don't know. We'll see. Like I said, the good news is alive and we'll be able to walk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time we went off the air yesterday, we weren't sure of either one of those. At least I wasn't sure. Like, I was hoping, obviously, but we didn't know.
Also, no, I was listening to the radio last night. There's no reports of, like, any alcohol or any drugs, anything like that in the vehicle or anything like that. So.
Yeah, in the vehicle. I don't think they would have that already, like, knowing, like, how the toxicology
report comes probably back, not.
So, like,
yeah.
I saw people sharing that. I'm just saying, I don't think he's out of the clear on it yet, but the cops said they didn't suspect any of that as of now.
Yeah, because, I mean, obviously they probably didn't have him blowing on anything right after he's getting in a car wreck and he's in serious condition.
Right.
So that's kind of what they discussed last night as well, so.
Yeah. But, like, no, like you said, no bottle of liquor sitting in the front seat.
Right, nothing like that.
No pills all over the car, things like that. But, again, I do think they'll have to wait on the official toxicology report to clear him. And, like, hopefully there wasn't anything there. Hopefully it's just an accident.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
But they said, you know, the cop talking about it said, lucky to be alive. Walk out of that crash, like, alive.
Yeah. Shout out to his seatbelt. He was wearing a seatbelt.
Shout out to the seatbelt. Really, really bad advertising was was it? What kind of car was he in? Was he in a Hyundai? I got the Genesis logo on it.
Yeah, I think it was the Genesis. If I remember right, yeah.
Hyundai sales a Genesis.
Yeah.
Like
that's what I'm saying. It's like so Genesis and Hyundai. Like, bad advertising for them, I think, to see.
Just car smashed.
I mean, like,
everywhere.
The picture, yeah, is the car smashed. I mean, I guess you could say he
he's
survived.
Alive, so, yeah. Yeah. It could be like, safety.
Is that I guess, like, was that good advertising then, maybe? I don't think, like, people want to see their car smashed up with their logos on it, but hell, maybe, like, people are like, oh, he's lucky to be alive. You can say, look at this this crash safety record we have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I drive a Hyundai, and they always say they're very safe.
They do.
Maybe it's a good thing. Seatbelts, though, big winner. Big winner for seatbelts.
Yep.
When the deputy arrived, a neighbor told him the driver was still in the vehicle. Gonzalez said he poked his head through a hole in the windshield and saw Woods with the seatbelt on, like you said. And Tiger was able to speak to me lucidly. He appeared incredibly calm, the deputy said. Likely because he was in shock.
Yeah, shock and adrenaline.
Yeah.
Some powerful stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, just had a back procedure 2 days before Christmas. It was working.
Well, I guess good we didn't see anything with, like, I guess back, you know, injuries kind of coming from it. I don't know if...
I'm imagining his back's not feeling very good today, though.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of surgery, like, you don't do that immediately, but I'm sure, like, there's going to be lasting effects there. Like, his body...
Yeah.
His body is breaking down.
Oh, yeah. It went through some serious stuff there, but...
And his body was already breaking down, and now, you know... I don't know... Like I said, Tiger's a freak. He'll probably try to get back to where he could play competitive golf, but, like, it just seems so crazy to me to think about
it. Yeah. Does he really need to, though? He's already kind of had his comeback story a little bit after winning the Masters a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Or I guess, yeah, a couple years ago.
Yeah, it was, what, 2019?
Because, I mean, Alex Smith was out, like, what, 2 years? Like, 2.5 years? I mean, he got hurt. I looked it up. November 18th, 2018. So, basically 2 years that he was out. And like you said, with Tiger's age, man, like it could be 3 or 4 years. Like, is that even worth it? Like, trying to get back from that?
I think he'll get back. Well, is that, I don't know. It's so crazy because it's all he's ever known.
Yeah.
Like, we don't think about it rationally, Draven, because, like, it's, you know, you grow up doing something since you were literally, like, 8 months old.
Like,
and you're wired like a killer. Like, I mean, I don't.
It's like when people retire and just don't know what to do with themselves, right? Because, yeah, they're not used to not having to go to work, not doing whatever.
Well, that's the thing about golf is, like, you don't retire from golf. Like, even, like, when you get too old, you go to the senior tour.
Yeah.
And, like, you'll be out there playing, you know, against older people up until you're 75 or 80. I mean, I don't have to play that long, but, you know.
And it is one of those sports that has that kind of long-standing longevity, you know.
Tanner says, surviving a crash, the police say you should die in as a big-time positive advertiser for the manufacturer. Okay.
There you go.
I will concede that. Hyundai and Genesis, probably feeling good.
Shout out to them.
The Genesis is a type of Hyundai?
Well, yeah, but I don't think that's what it was. He was
there. It wasn't that.
That's like usually a sedan type thing. It's not usually an SUV. A Hyundai Genesis. It's like kind of like your size car.
Okay.
Like that. But it had the Genesis logo on the side.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be weird that they wouldn't just have him in an actual Genesis, but either way.
Like the Genesis Invitational was the name of the tournament. Right. So, yeah.
Okay.
So I guess it was just a Hyundai SUV.
No, it was a Genesis. It's just one of their bigger versions.
Oh, okay.
The GV80.
Okay.
Hyundai actually issued a statement.
What'd they say?
They said they were sad to learn that Tiger was in an accident in the GV80. In their GV80, our thoughts and prayers with Tiger and his family at this time.
Nice that they gave you the model in case you're interested in. What's that? The GV80.
Yeah.
The GV80. Thanks for asking.
If you're planning on driving your GV80 80 miles an hour off the side of the road, you'll probably survive.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they could say that, but, you know, that's what they're thinking. Like, yeah, nailed it.
Just with some broken legs.
Well, there's your update. I thought the Golf Network really mishandled their coverage yesterday. That was my big takeaway, like from a sports and media standpoint, was the Golf Network. That was bad. They were as the reports coming out, they're doing their coverage of Tiger's history with car wrecks.
Oh, oof.
They then have players that are getting ready to play in a tournament on Thursday interviewing. They broke the news to his good friend Justin Thomas, like, during a press conference by asking him a question about it, to which, like, he's visibly, like, shaken up, like, on the verge of tears, like, not knowing if his friend is alive or not, or, like, going to be paralyzed. Like, they break that news to him during just a random press conference for his tournament. It was very, very weird.
That's in poor taste.
And I thought it was just very, very bad coverage from the Golf Network and from the PGA Tour.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't even see that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Is that just going to happen with a big of an athlete like Tiger? Because, I mean, you know, there was issues when Kobe passed away as well, which I think those were in poor taste. But I do think it's one way or the other. It's going to be tough to handle these kind of situations when it's this kind of athlete.
I understand, but, like, I do think you could, again, for somebody who it's pretty well documented, the relationship Justin Thomas and Tiger Woods have, I think in that stance, somebody has to tell him either before or after the press conference.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, pull him off the side. Like, don't let us see him react to that. Mm-hmm. If you have to delay his press conference 10 minutes to give him a heads up and give him time to check in with whoever he needs to check to in Tiger's camp to see if he's alive, like, that, to me, is an easy thing to fix. But you are right. Like, it would have been weird had they done all this and just ignored the accident.
Yeah.
And, like, pretend like it didn't happen. I understand, like, you want news and things like that. You got to do your job and all that. But, again, I think breaking the news to people live in the moment is in pretty poor taste. And like you said, they did that a lot with Kobe. Who was it? There was somebody that like was famously shaken up by that, right? When they found out Kobe died during a post game. Was it Cassius Winston? Was that him?
It was somebody like that. It was like a college player, but yeah.
Izzo like tell him like during the game or something? Like he like left the game or something crazy like that? Or like
I'm pretty sure it happened on a Sunday. Did it not?
Right.
It happened on a Sunday, and the big camp plays on Sunday, so I'm pretty sure it was him.
I thought it was.
Because it was during the Pro Bowls when it happened.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
It was on a Sunday.
January, 26th?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Now, I think it was Cassius Winston who found out, like, during the game and, like, left crying. And I don't know.
Yeah, it does say has heartbreaking reaction to news of Kobe passing.
And like I said, I think it was after the game, and he just, like, was impressed.
Yeah, yeah. And I think they, like, just won or something, too, and they're like, oh, congrats on the win, by the way. Like,
any thoughts on Kobe dying? He's like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
So, like I said, I thought the golf network, the PGA Tour, whoever's putting on the tournament, whatever, whoever was in charge over there, I thought that was just really tone deaf.
Yep.
To break in the coverage of his history with car accidents.
Yep. And, you know, I of course don't actually know for sure, but the report was, like, I'm going to assume he was not, you know, intoxicated, impaired, or anything with pills or whatever, because apparently he was basically, he got his car from valet that morning, and he was running late where he was going to do early morning shoot with the Rolling Hills Country Club for Discovery Networks.
Uh-huh.
So I'm assuming he's, you know, he's not going to show up to something like that impaired. So, of course, yeah, if he's running late or something, I could definitely see why he was speeding down the road and, you know, something goes wrong. But, yeah, they said the people that were at the shooting location waited like an hour before finding out that, like, oh, he had crashed and, you know, wasn't going to
really
make it.
Well, that'd be awkward for it. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
It'd just be awkward.
Drew Brees was supposed to be there as well,
as
I'm pretty
was,
sure.
As was Justin Herbert, I believe.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear
so
about
yeah,
Herbert.
Probably just hanging out like, huh, wonder where he is. And
so this is unlike Tiger, trying to call him and can't get a hold of him.
Yeah.
Well, there's the news of the day. We'll switch gears after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. What do we have in college basketball last night? I know tonight we have Tennessee playing Vanderbilt. Have us on upset alert.
Yikes.
I mean, I just think that's who we are. I just think that's who we are. We have any? We had some upsets last night, Hayden, you said?
Oh, yeah.
Any
some,
big ones?
Some big ones.
Gonzaga lose?
No, Gonzaga doesn't play. They play like Thursday and Saturday.
Okay.
It's like a weird schedule.
Baylor lose?
No, they almost did, though. Yeah. Iowa State had them on the ropes.
I saw they were down at halftime to a 2-17 Iowa State team.
Are they the best 2-17 team? Because they always play everybody super close.
I still need an explanation as to how the hell they're 2-17. Like, what happened to Iowa State's basketball program?
Yeah, that's the question.
I don't know.
So who do we have? Illinois loses?
Illinois loses to Michigan State.
Okay.
Is Michigan State
on the bubble? Are they going to get the tournament?
Maybe if they
rally. Are all these blue bloods trying to rally?
They are, yeah.
Like Izzo, Coach K, and Cal, like all these guys are trying to rally. Like, you know, obviously Cal's going to have to win the conference tournament. Duke won again the other night, right?
Yeah.
They're now won, what, 5 in a row?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. After beating Syracuse, they're working their way back on the bubble, or they're probably on the right side of the bubble now, I would say. Mm-hmm. And new updates, no, still no?
Not yet. But, I mean, they're like next four out area.
So not four out, next four out?
Yeah, next four out. I mean, they got a shot. I mean, Michigan State does too. Them and Michigan State have a shot. I would say Kentucky is like.
Well, Kentucky has to win the conference.
Yeah, I agree with that.
No, yeah, they're still like 5 games under .500. Yep. They're still going to have to win the conference. But I'm saying they're peaking. They're trying to get to the point where they can win the conference tournament, is what I'm saying. Like, all these are trying to make a stand.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think it's going to be hard for the committee to look at Duke and Michigan State on the bubble and not give them the benefit of the doubt if they're playing well since, like, they'll be like, since February 15th, this team is, you know, a top 50 team. We'll say something to get them in. I just think it'll be hard to not give Duke, especially, a bubble berth.
Yep.
They're you know, 9-1 since kicking Jalen Johnson off the team. They're a top 10 team without him. Important to remember. It'll be the opposite of whenever players are hurt. Like, you got to consider how this team played, you know, before the injury and after the injury. Not during the injury. It'll be like before Jalen Johnson and after Jalen Johnson. So who lost? Illinois lost, the number 5 team in the country.
Oklahoma lost as well.
Oklahoma lost 17. To a hideous Kansas State team, as you pointed out. Those jerseys they played in were ugly.
Second really worst bad. Team in the Big 12, right in front of Iowa State. So.
Okay. So bad loss there.
Oh, terrible loss, yeah.
Oklahoma just feels like they're really inconsistent sometimes. Like they get big wins and kind of let down every now and then, too.
And another bad loss for Missouri, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ole Miss got them.
All right. Good job by you, Kermit. Like, I thought Kermit was a good hire for Ole Miss, and you know, last year they were okay. This year they started out bad, but they've been playing pretty well lately. Are they working their way to the bubble yet or no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on the bubble, like in on the right side or just in the contention?
I'd say they're probably on the right side after their win last night.
Okay.
I mean, it was on the road. I mean,
yeah, but the metrics don't love Missouri, and, like, their ratings don't, like, love them in terms of, like, their seeding and stuff. So, like, I don't know how – it's a top 50 road win, so, I mean, it's, I would assume it's quad one win for Ole Miss.
Like, metrics, you mean, like, net?
Like, KenPom doesn't like them, the advanced metrics. And I don't know what their net rating of
I think their
is.
Net is, like, 30 or 40, but they were number one in the RPI for a while.
I just knew it, like, even – I was thinking LSU. That was like a 7 seed whenever they beat us. But mm-hmm. Missouri, I guess, has been like a 4 or 5 for most of the year. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And Ole Miss swept them. They beat them twice. Didn't they beat them like
a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
We had some interesting SEC scores.
Shout out to
beating down LSU.
Oh, yeah. It's all that.
Strange.
Yeah, that Florida beat down Auburn by almost 20.
Florida, where's Florida at in terms of seeding? For the NCAA tournament, that was a big win for their chances of getting a bye in in the SEC.
Yeah,
6 or 7 right now. Probably more of a 7.
Where does Tennessee's chances feel right now in terms of getting a top 4 seed? Yeah. Is it going to go down to just that Florida game? I guess.
Yeah, and they said they're going to reschedule that last weekend at the game.
Yeah, I mean, of course they will. Like, if Tennessee wins tonight, they'll be 9-6 and. I guess we'll leapfrog Florida for the time being, or I guess tie them 9-6, 8-5. They'll tie them for a top 4 seed. Okay. Ole Miss, Missouri, Kentucky, all at 7-7. Ole Miss, Ole Miss beating Missouri probably helps our chances too. Mm-hmm. Or I don't know, since Ole Miss beat us head to head, we only played them once, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
So Ole Miss might get the nod over us if we'd have to lose another game, and you know, that's. Obviously, very possible.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Did you see where the McDonald's All America teams were named?
Yes.
Hey, how about us, Kenny Chandler?
Let's go.
How about Michigan?
That's what I was gonna say. Actually, Michigan. Juwan Howard, huh? What about him?
He's killing it there.
Yeah. See what happens when you give a great pro with assistant coaching. As his only things on his resume, a chance to coach his alma mater.
He's doing the basketball what they thought Harbaugh was going to do the football.
Or what Gerard Mayo would
do. Well, no.
Just a good pro, long career, smart.
Howard also was like an assistant coach for a long time.
A lot longer than Gerard Mayo.
He
was being a defensive coordinator / linebackers coach for 2 years, in my opinion. But either way, I mean, sitting on the bench behind Spoelstra, I mean, I don't know how people would have thought he was going to do by coming to recruit in basketball. I mean, no head coaching experience, never recruited, things like that. And a lot of questions about Juwan Howard, and he has answered the bell. He has elevated that program. Like, John Beilein, of course, made the national championship twice? Or he made the Final Four twice. Did he make the national championship both times?
He did. No? Yeah, he lost the year they lost to Louisville, and then they lost to Villanova, right?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, they lost to Louisville 2013.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, Howard has to go deep in the tournament to match that success. But, like, I would say he's elevated their level of talent.
Yeah.
Did they get to retroactively claim that national championship?
No.
Or not?
I don't think so.
Even though, okay.
I don't think that's how it works.
Yeah, I don't think they just get
it. I mean, they probably could, like, claim they are, but, like, no one's going to acknowledge it.
Everybody knows that Louisville won.
Yeah. They might just be like, hey, we want to acknowledge this one if you just let us put our Fat Five banners back up, please. Can we just do that? Well, they don't need to. Because they got one of the Fab Five coaching them, and they're probably going to get another banner sometime soon because they're a top five team in the country right now. And of the top 20 prospects that were named McDonald's All-Americans, Michigan had 3 of them and currently have the number one recruiting class in the country. They have the number 7 player in the country, the number 8 player in the country, and the number 47 player in the country with Kobe Bufkin. Caleb Houston. Mosa Diabate. I don't know how to say his name.
Diabate.
Diabate, that's probably right. Yeah. That's probably right, yep. Mosa Diabate and Kobe Buffin.
I've heard that name before. I feel like he has a brother in the NBA.
I don't know, he's a top 10 player in this class. So, I mean, you probably heard of him just maybe from that. Duke and Kentucky have 2 signees apiece. Tennessee, of course, has Kenny Chandler. Michigan, though. Oh, man. Got to feel good about having 3 of those guys.
Yeah.
Got to feel good about that. Love seeing Juwan Howard succeed there. Like I said, he's, I feel like, building on what, you know, John Beilein did, but doing it more with probably going to be doing, having more talented players. I mean, I know Trey Burke was good. I know Tim Hardaway Jr. was good. Stauskas and those guys, but, like, they weren't top-end talent, I don't think. Like, five stars, were yeah. they? I mean, I don't think any of those guys were five stars.
What? Say that again?
Were any, like, Howard or Hardaway or Trey Burke, they weren't, like, five-star recruits, were they?
Hardaway may have been.
Hardaway may have been.
Burke was.
Yeah, he wasn't, I don't think.
Yeah,
Hardaway might have been, though.
Trey Burke was a four-star.
Okay.
And
went to middle school with Trey Burke for 1 year.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You guys the same age?
No, he was like 2 years older, so he was in like eighth when I was in like six.
But really?
Yeah, they were briefly in Georgia. Still got like got the picture in the yearbook and everything.
Tim Hardaway like, was
you know, if you look him up in the yearbook, he's in there.
I'm gonna guess Tim Hardaway was even lower than a four
yeah,
star.
Yeah, he's
say
a
he
three.
Was,
oh, really?
I was gonna say he probably just got there like off name. He's a little undersized when he came yeah. in and like really
skinny.
See,
I thought
skinny.
He might be ranked higher just because of his name.
Mm-hmm.
He was three yeah. star. He was number 161 player in the country. Yeah, if you see like what he looked like in high school though, like. He grew 3 inches between his high school and like now his NBA career, at least. He's listed as 6'6 now. He used to be 6'3. Tennessee Vanderbilt tonight. I'm diving into that next, I guess. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Tennessee Vandy tonight. Our friend Will Warren, friend of the program, wrote a pretty good article highlighting some of Tennessee's problems. Offensively, and it basically comes down to Tennessee's propensity to shoot mid-range jumpers.
That checks out. It's our favorite shot.
And it's the worst shot.
Yep.
It's the worst shot, but it is Tennessee's favorite shot. He did a really nice breakdown of that, showing just how many. This season alone, Tennessee has shot 324 mid-range jumpers, which seems really high. Kind of put in comparison, a team that we all feel like is kind of properly representing the future of college basketball. The way they play offense, the best offense in the SEC is whom? You would say
Alabama.
Alabama, correct. Thank you, Hayden. I told you we've taken 324 mid-range jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
You want to guess how many Alabama's taken all year?
Ooh.
45. 62.
62?
Going between 50.
36.
Wow.
The entire season, they have shot 36 mid-range jumpers compared to our 324.
Jeez.
We've taken 34 the last two games.
So we've taken 10 times as many as they have, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Jeez.
And like I said, we basically matched their season total in two games. Which, by the way, of the 34 mid-range jumpers we've taken the last two games, you want to guess how many we've hit?
12.
12?
That's what I was going to say. I'll say 10.
10? Nine. You guys are overshooting it. And
we are overshooting it as a program, too.
You were close, and you were already very, very low. I'm saying it was still overshot. It's nine.
Mm-hmm.
We're nine of 34 the last two games. So when you wonder how our offense looks as bad as it does at times, just that's it. Like, that's what we've been saying. Rick Barnes' offense is kind of stuck in the past, and make no mistake, you don't have to look very far to see that. It is that Tennessee wants to shoot nothing but mid-range jumpers.
Shouldn't we have, like, a analytics guy, like, screaming in Barnes' ear on the sideline or something?
That's what's frustrating is, like, they've all shown, not to keep shouting my boy Will out, but they've taken a liking to his stats. Like, they've used his stats in game notes. Like, he's been screaming this all year, and he's been laying it out for him. Like, if you listen to ESPN's broadcast, especially, like, with Jimmy Dykes is on, he's constantly talking about Will, too. Like, they're collaborating on this. People notice what's happening here, and UT has reached out to him about some stats. You would think he would be their analytical guy. You'd think they just read this and say, hey, Rick, you might want to look at this.
Like, yeah, it's not that hard to look at those two numbers and be like, huh, one office is efficient and one is not.
Like,
where's
the
correlation?
I don't think it takes an analytical guy to be sitting in Barnes' ear and just put a piece of paper in front of him. Hey.
Well, I can't read.
Hey, this is bad. You are the 11th ranked offense in the SEC. There's only 14 teams when you just look at points per possession. Tennessee is right where you need to be, like right where the average is. One point per possession. You are the 11th of 14 teams.
You.
Same conversation all year, man. They don't change any.
No.
Like, we've been talking about this since the beginning of the season.
Everybody thought we had hacked it, too, when we started running a little bit in that Kentucky game. Everybody's like, oh, we figured it out. Nope. Nope.
It's all about, like, I mean, I know that some people may think it's gone too far in the NBA.
Yeah.
The layups and threes, like, when the Rockets were, like, kind of bastardizing the sport. It was like, hey, we're going to pass up everything except layups and threes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, now you see teams shoot 40-something threes a game. The mid-range game is completely gone in the NBA, which, yeah. You know, you could argue about whether or not that's a good thing. And in the playoffs, like, ultimately, you're going to have to be able to hit mid-range jumpers in the playoffs. But, like, there's a difference between Kevin Durant taking a 18-foot mid-range jumper and Pons shooting a 12-foot jumper. Between Jane Springer shooting a contested 15-foot jumper. Like, those are different. Those are different things. Like, I understand if Rick Barnes is like, hey, look, we can't ignore the two-point shot. But there's a difference between open twos and contested twos. And Tennessee's even shooting contested twos.
Just bad basketball.
That's what it is. It's bad basketball. Tennessee ranks near the very bottom in terms of just shot quality, like in terms of getting shots at the rim and three. Like I said, that's the important thing. If you look at, like, the top 20 offenses in the country, Gonzaga, Baylor, those type of teams, they're in the 70 percentile in terms of three-pointers and shots at the rim.
Checks out.
Tennessee, near the bottom, at just 56%. The 342nd worst in the country in terms of getting to the rim or shooting threes.
who do you trust to shoot threes? Like, Victor Bailey's hit or miss. Vescovi's last couple of games has just completely disappeared. And other than that, like, you got Springer, who's pretty good, but Keon's not a great three shooter. Pons, no. Like,
so, well, my issue
Triple
would
J,
be,
eh.
I don't think we're not getting a ton of open threes because we're not getting into the lane and, you know, being able to get the kickouts like that.
I would even go a step further of saying, I get your point, Draven, in terms of you might not want these guys shooting threes. They're not great three-point shooters. I understand that. The problem is they're shooting contested twos, and they're not good at that either.
Yeah.
When I tell you they've hit 9 of 34 mid-range jumpers, like, that's not a good shot for them either.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I might as well go 9 of 34 from 3. Then, you
know, that's 100% correct. Like, and the low percentage post-up fadeaways at focus and shooting, like, that's closer to the basket, but it's not a good shot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And how many times have we seen in the last few games people get in the lane, toss it out to the three-point line, throw a pump fake it, guy jumps, take one dribble, and shoot it on the two, like, 1 foot inside the 3-point line.
No, I mean,
like, what's the point of that?
Bailey does that a lot, and despite him being a guy that's willing to shoot up threes, you'll see him pump fake and then take two dribbles in or one dribble, like you said, which is an old school level of approach.
Yeah,
like,
I feel like that's the coaching.
It is the coaching. Like, that's what you're taught growing up. Mm-hmm. But as we get smarter, and guys are supposed to be getting more talented in the NBA, you'll see the pump fake
side
dribble. We'll dribble one to the side to open up our shot.
Yep.
I mean, the shot 1 foot inside the 3-point line is, like, probably the least efficient shot in
basketball. Oh, 100%.
Basketball,
yeah, because you're basically shooting a 3-pointer, but you're only getting 2 points if you hit it. I can imagine the shot 1 foot up, a foot and a half up, is much different in terms of your percentage either. So, like, I mean, it's a terrible shot.
And what blows my mind, too, is, like, when you look at some of the players on our roster, like, of course, the freshmen, Pond, you're like, oh, man, we got some athletes. We should be able to get to the rim. And then we just don't.
The crazy part is that Tennessee's most successful team under Rick Barnes, 2018-2019, did this a lot. They shot a lot of mid-range jumpers, but they had guys that could make them. So, like, you didn't necessarily drive you as crazy, but right now Tennessee doesn't have guys making them. So, like, it rears its ugly head, and now you have a bottom-tier offense, despite having some guys that you felt like are pretty talented.
And that's why even, like, that good of a team was able to, you know, lose games they're not supposed to, because when those shots aren't falling, it's not a good day for you.
Right.
So, yeah, when you have people that can't hit the shots as well, and
To me, that stat is just what's crazy. I mean,
that's unreal.
When you look and just see, again, like all I need to tell you about this is that we all kind of come together and we acknowledge that Alabama is playing the best type of offense in the SEC.
And it just blows my mind. You can't just, even just watching the two teams, you can tell the difference. So, like, yeah, if somebody just set a piece of paper in front of him and said, hey, look at these differences, it blows my mind that nobody would be like, okay, maybe I need to adjust something. Or
now Alabama's a little extreme about it. Yeah, I would say they probably come close to leading the country, at least from the stats I'm looking at right here. Like, of the top 20 teams,
yeah,
they are by far the highest. There might be some outlier, some small schools doing it, but you know, Gonzaga and Baylor, I both think of those as having pretty explosive offenses. Gonzaga does it 71% of the time, rims and three-pointers. Alabama is all the way up at 78%. Basically, four of their five shots are either layups or threes.
Yeah, I'm about to say, like, Alabama doesn't even have to be the model you're looking at. Like, SEC-wise, yeah, but yeah, you could just look at the top teams in the country and be like, okay, this is what they're doing, this is why they're successful. We have the athletes that should be able to do the same stuff. Why aren't we? It
just seems crazy. Like I said, Tennessee has taken 324. Jeez. Alabama has taken 36. Ugh. The future is now, old man.
How many you think they're taking tonight?
Tennessee?
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead and pencil them in for what I said. They took 34 the last two games. Yeah. So, I mean, average of 17. Yeah, how many games have we played this year? What are we, 16-5?
Yeah, we played 21.
16-5 leads our record?
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
So
15-6.
Yeah.
How many did you say we took?
324. So, yeah, I was just going to say, divide that. I mean,
by 21.
Yeah, we'll pencil in a good 14. Yeah.
15 and a half a game.
Yeah. Pretty on par.
Just once you start looking for it, you won't be able to, like, stop noticing it. And it'll drive you crazy. And it'll sour you on this coaching staff. It'll sour you on Rick Barnes. And it'll just make you feel like you're watching old school basketball.
Yep.
And it gets even worse because you don't have a Grant Williams shooting mid-range jumpers. Or post-ups. Guys that could actually do it. You have guys who can't make them. Hour one in the books. We'll kick off hour two with headlines. We'll still do a Vanderbilt preview at some point, but that's just what's been on my mind with Tennessee basketball. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
Bankruptcy, divorce, personal injury. These are just some of the curveballs life can